Maybe I'm dating myself, Daljit, but you remember the era of Gutenberg? You know, the first printing presses back in the 1600s?
You're dating yourself a little bit, John.
Well, in those times when printing presses were the only way you published information, the people with the printing presses were some of the most powerful people in the society. And, of course, they got the attention of the kings and other authorities, and laws were made to regulate their behavior. But in this day and age, and we think of it something of as a signature for this program, to focus on the implications of everyone being able to publish in an online, wirelessly interactive world. And one implication that popped up last week has legal scholars scratching their heads all over the world. Dahlia Lithwick joins us. She's the legal affairs correspondent from Slate. We're thrilled to have her on the line from Virginia. Dahlia, thanks for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Now, I can publish online on my desktop, on my laptop, and anyone can publish from their cell phone if they upload text and, in this case, pictures. What are the legal implications, and this is literally the story, of young people, minors, underage kids, uploading pictures of themselves to each other, maybe they're not clothed, coming into contact with anti-pornography laws, which are certainly made for adults?
Right. Well, certainly, let's say for sure they're not clothed in this this particular scenario, because that's the issue. The issue really is a spate of prosecutions that have been very, very draconian across the country of young people, often as young as, you know, middle school or 13, 14-year-old kids who, I think, invariably, without knowing the consequences, take shots of themselves naked, send them to their boyfriend or girlfriend, and find themselves sometimes facing these felony pornography prosecutions. And there's the piece that I did about it for Slate and for Newsweek this week talks about particularly a case in Pennsylvania where three young girls, ages 13 and 14, in Pennsylvania sent pictures of themselves to their boyfriends.
Wow.
I mean, this was in no way an attempt to sort of disseminate porn under the classic sense of what porn is. And all six of these kids were charged with these very, very serious sex crimes that end up becoming, now in this particular case, they pled, I think all but one pled to misdemeanors, but they become eligible to be on sex offender registries for decades.
Oh, there are two things going on here quickly, and then Daljit is itching to get in here. One, it seems like the technology is enabling behaviors on the part of these kids that they would probably not do under any other circumstances. That's one. Number two, there doesn't seem to be any law for minors who are also so-called pornographers. Is that fair?
I think both of those observations are right. You know, this is behavior that's happening very far in advance of legal structures to constrain it. This is the kind of thing that, you know, the most crazy thing I did with technology when I was a kid was, you know, turn from Love Boat to Fantasy Island on the TV. I just didn't have the ability to do these things. Most of the stories I'm hearing are kids who had no idea that there would be legal consequences. And then I think you're quite right. You know, this is just doesn't fit under any classic definition of porn. You know, the guy with the shabby overcoat and the predator preying on children. These are very, very frequently cases where, to the extent that there's a predator, these 13-year-old girls are sort of preying on themselves.
So, Dahlia, I mean, if you don't think that it should be dealt with by the criminal justice system, I mean, what do you think is sort of what's behind this kind of extreme reaction? If I'm reading what you're saying correctly, you think that, what is it, a knee-jerk reaction or what?
Yeah, I mean, I think that to the extent that these cases, many of these cases are being prosecuted using very, very harsh pornography laws, I think there's a feeling, and certainly we've seen a lot of quotes from cases around the country, that this is very serious conduct and that kids, maybe they don't understand the implications, but the implication of sending a naked photo of yourself is that within a nanosecond it can be uploaded onto the internet, it can go, you know, to 1,000 people, and then it really, you know, will ruin in your life. And so I guess my sense is that the argument that you don't want to inadvertently ruin your life, so let's intentionally ruin your life by making you register as a sex offender, just defies logic. But certainly I think the argument is if we single out these cases, we treat them very harshly, maybe kids will get it that what they're doing has very serious consequences.
Well, as someone who's had many, many opportunities to ruin his life throughout my long life, the technology has not helped me in that at all. And the technology really is an issue, whether it's enabling or creating, more fine print in the law. It's a subject for Siva Vaidyanathan, who's media professor at the University of Virginia, who also joins us now. Siva, this issue of kids being able to publish but yet being minors is a real anomaly. And I'm wondering if it has implications way beyond simply this sort of kiddie porn, which is so attractive to, tabloid media that is even coined a phrase for it called sexting, I think.
Yeah, the pornography side of it is the problem, is that we, as Dahlia has written and has said this morning, once you view it as a pornography problem, you're missing out on all of the really dangerous and harmful bullying and extortion and power issues that are going on as the real dynamic in this relationship, right? This phenomenon is not just about flirtation and seduction among teens. It really is about people using these photos in ways that really exert some sort of social power within their community. And this plays directly into the results of a very important meta study of a number of studies and statistics that the Berkman Center for Internet and Society released last month, which showed that our image of the sexual predation danger that teens face, the Dateline NBC image, is so completely off base, right? Huh. The real danger out there is not at all the creepy old man, posing as a teen and luring someone
right.
unsuspectingly into a situation. But in fact, there is real danger of adults taking advantage of teens who are already troubled and in danger, and we are not paying attention to those teens who are likely to put themselves in these situations because we're focusing on
right.
this supposed general problem.
Well, this brings us to a bigger issue, which I want to keep both of you for the next segment. I mean, the question is, who owns the rights to whatever picture you publish if you're a kid? There's a dispute about that. And when we come back, Dahlia, I want to ask you about, is there such thing as a doctrine of two consenting teenagers in an issue like this that has any legal standing? Dahlia Lithwick, Slate legal affairs correspondent, and Siva Vaidyanathan, media professor at the University of Virginia. We're talking about some pretty interesting internet implications in this 21st century.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.